What's TV?
None of your damn business.
Glad to be back. Even when I cough, it sounds great. This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Film Sack. This is Film Sack, the show that takes some of the worst, maybe some of the best, maybe it's a matter of opinion, movies from the past, from the future, and from the present. Well, not so much from the future. But we talk about them on the show, we tear them apart, and we let you guys do with them what you will. Welcome back, everybody. I am Scott Johnson. Joining me, as always, is Brian Dunaway.
Sorry, I'm having a hard time hearing you. I just had my head bitten off by our alien insect overlords.
It's a good look for you, dude. I'm not
yeah,
gonna lie.
Thank you.
Also with us, Brian Ibbett.
The president lives!
And finally, Randy Jordan.
Thanks, Scott. Glad to be here. Even though I live in a future where people have guns and know how to use them, I'm about to lead an army of humans into battle with aliens and arm them with bows and arrows.
Yeah, that's right. Back to the basics. All right. I always wonder, when people hear the beginning of the show, if there's enough hints there that they would actually figure out what the movie is, and I'm guessing no way in hell.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
Brian, by the way, totally... Totally stole my bite my head off.
Really?
I had that right here. Jeez, yes. You don't have to bite my head off.
I'm just glad you had a backup, dude. That's great.
Yeah, that,
I
that
came up
great.
With it in 5 seconds.
That's amazing.
That's why I was so excited that I got to go first. I was like, oh, yes.
Yeah. I'll switch it up next week. You'll never know who's going first.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
Ah, we'll That's have to fun. See how that goes. All right. Well, let Scott Fletcher tell us more about this week's movie, which is Alien Apocalypse.
Alien Apocalypse. Returning from a mission to outer space, astronaut physician Ivan Hood, played by Bruce Campbell of The Evil Dead, and his lovely assistant Kelly, played by Renee O'Connor, are greeted with an awful reality. Earth has been invaded by slave-driving aliens who use humans as their workforce. Helping the enslaved population organize and rise against their captors, Ivan and Kelly incite a revolution that puts the evil extraterrestrials on notice.
That's right. Permanently on notice.
That actually sounds like a movie I'd want to see.
They
well,
all
on
do.
Paper,
How
let's
you describe them like that.
Yeah, I mean, break it down on paper. This all of those things sound great. Bruce Campbell's in it. That sounds great.
Yeah,
it's a tidy little about 90 minutes or so. That sounds great. You know, the Sci-Fi Channel actually commissioned this project.
They did TV.
That it's sounds TV. Great, but as it turns out. I think it's fair to say it's not so great.
Mm-hmm. I would say that would be a fair assessment. However, I did watch this movie with my kids and my wife, and we did find ourselves a few times with, you know, emotional feelings towards the characters, like, oh, no.
No, you didn't. You yeah, never once said.
Oh,
you
no,
never...
they bit his head off. I didn't. What's good?
We had some emotional feelings towards the characters, too.
Yeah, I guess we needed to define what emotions you're referring to. But yeah. Look, the bottom line was this for me, and we're going to get into the background, the plot, and everything here in a second. But this is Bruce Campbell's kind of movie, in a way. Like, this is where he shines, partially because everything else sucks so bad. That he's a standout. Yeah. I mean, he made me laugh a few times. He's the only guy that wasn't overdubbed.
Totally. Yeah, no doubt.
And we'll talk more about that because it was bad. I mean, real bad. But he sounded great and felt, to me, this felt like a favor to a friend, which it turns out after doing some research, it was.
It always is for Bruce Campbell.
Yeah, it was a favor to a friend. I wish I was his friend. He'd do us a favor.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
He's a great guy. And he could really be. I think he'd be a leading man if he wanted to be.
Well, yeah.
Do you really?
In the right vehicle.
Like what? Like, let's define leading man, though. So a leading man is in like Harrison Ford style.
Well,
stuff.
Okay, yeah, he was leading man in this movie, but I'm talking about a real movie. I think he could pull it off. I mean, we've seen him in Burn Notice. I think he has the chops for it.
But the highest he's ever crawled in a real movie are his appearances in the Spider-Man films. You know, and that I think that sums him up perfectly. He's a maitre d', he's a guy in the wrestling ring with the mic, you know what I'm saying? He just, that's as good as it gets for him.
I think it's because in the right hand, I think, I'm going to side with Brian on this, because in the right hands, I think you could do something really fun with him. Like, I don't know if anybody's seen Bubba Ho-Tep, but that was a brilliant film.
That was very good. I like that movie.
Love that movie. And that's where Bruce
Campbell
belongs.
Is that
Campbell
on Netflix? We should see if it is.
I don't know. It's almost too good for us, isn't it?
Sit back and talk while I search Netflix.
I'm just saying, what does it say about Bruce Campbell that guys like Woody Harrelson get films like Zombieland? I mean, really.
Right.
It's a good point.
Also in 2012.
Don't remind me.
Bruce Campbell did a great job in the Evil Dead series, especially Army of Darkness was probably the most commercial mainstream of all those movies, and I thought he held his own just fine in that.
And you could argue that was a leading man role, I guess, in a way. Mm-hmm. He was the head character in that. You could probably also say that his appearances in Briscoe County Jr. and Jack of All Trades, those TV shows were definitely focused on him. But it's a very specific kind of thing.
Do you think he could do the romantic comedy thing for that? For example, like opposite Sandra Bullock or Horseface, Sex and the City, whatever her name is.
Now that Bruce is in his 50s, I would say no. I wish he would have steered that direction 25 years ago.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He should do some more voice work. He was great in Partly Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. He played the mayor. He was great in that.
That was actually a really good movie, by the way, if you haven't seen it. And to answer your question, Netflix streaming does not have Bubba Ho-Tep streaming. They do have the DVD. Mm. Maybe we should encourage them.
Yes, please, Netflix. We know you're listening, of course, up to episode 5. You should please rush out and do that for us. All right, well, let's break down this plot. And by the way, I didn't know Sandra Bullock kind of was naked except for her hands in that proposal movie. So we rent this thinking, oh, this will be innocuous. No big deal.
Wait a minute.
Naked except for her hands?
Naked?
Yeah. Sandra Bullock is she does a Kramer versus Kramer, if anyone remembers that movie, where she's kind of trying to get across the hall to get a towel, and she's covering herself up with one hand over her boobage and one hand down in the crotchatorial, and she's just kind of rushing through there, and a dog stops her or something. And I'm right in the middle of this movie going, where's my 9-year-old? Oh, he's great. What? He's over there on the beanbag. That's just where I need him to catch the first glimpse
of Dad.
Yeah. At least it's Sandra Bullock, I guess. But anyway, if you're gonna break your kid's innocence, make it Sandra Bullock.
At least it's Sandra Bullock. When it's naughty, it's not so naughty. When it's
yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
All right. At least it wasn't Kathy Bates.
Oh, dude. Do not watch that movie with...
That was a great movie, too.
It was good. All right, Alien Apocalypse. It's hard not to want to talk about other movies because this one was really bad.
I was trying to steer away.
Alien Apocalypse. The story basically goes like this. Aliens take over the Earth for the last 20 years or so while Bruce and his little company of whatever they were in space launching a deep space probe, and they were in some sort of cryogenic sleep that made them not age for this amount of time. So they're launching this probe. Aliens want to eat all the wood. It turns out there's a certain alien race. Yeah. So they come to Earth because we have lots of wood. And they eat the wood. They sell the wood. It's like currency for them.
This cracks Randy up. It's like Randy's never heard this before.
You don't realize how just ridiculous the film is until you try talk about it plain face.
Really, really. Yeah. That's totally true. So wood, it turns out, way more important to the aliens than us. Bruce decides to fight these aliens and take the planet back with the help of a hot She-Ra chick and some slaves. That's really the plot.
By the way, the slaves were slaves of the aliens, not of Bruce's.
Oh, yeah. Correct. They were slave. Well, who knows what'll happen? Sequel.
He frees some slaves.
Yeah, he frees some slaves. Let's talk about Bruce Campbell for a second. In terms of what he did around this time, Spider-Man 2 came in 2004, and that's where he made a very fun appearance in there. He was then in something called Megas XLR. No idea what that is. Apocalypse in 2005, by the way. This movie's 2005. Then we got The Man with the Screaming Brain, which was produced in...
Not that horrible.
No, it was all right, but the same guys did it, which is crazy.
Yeah.
Same year, 2005. And then that same year, he did that great role in Sky High. I don't know if you guys remember that or not.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He was the coach or whatever he was. And that was entertaining.
Sky High was a fun kids movie.
Yeah, I liked that movie a lot.
They enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was good. So
you're saying So you're saying Alien Apocalypse is in Bruce Campbell's Joel and Ethan Coen phase?
Yeah, dude, totally. Yeah. Totally. Without the good of everything.
Yeah. You name it.
Yeah. You name it, it sucks. Director Josh Becker, really only other thing he did on his resume that I could find was a few Xena episodes, which probably explains the connection, because the whole Xena thing came about because of longtime cohort director, brain just went dead, Spider-Man director. What's his name?
Sam Raimi.
Sam Raimi. Sam Raimi, who is longtime pals, obviously, with Bruce. He helped produce Xena, and so this guy came from the Xena thing, which explains how these people all know each other. Renee O'Connor was on Xena Warrior Princess. She was the blonde kind
of
hottie chick.
Was this before or after when she tore the picture of the Pope? SNL.
That's a whole different O'Connor.
That you got the wrong
Sandra
chick.
Day. Sandra Day O'Connor.
Yeah, Sandra Day O'Connor.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, that really messed up her chances in the court. Anyway, there's that. A little bit of the trivia. Lucy Lawless was originally offered the Renee O'Connor role, but turned it down.
Good move.
Big shock. I can't imagine why Lucy Lawless, with some of her, she has some class, why she would turn down.
Yeah, she decided she would sing the national anthem. You know what she did? Not that long ago, at the baseball game,
Lucy Lawless did.
Isn't that when she exposed her breast?
No, you're talking about the Janet Jackson, dude.
No.
Who is
Lucy Lawless? Did it too. Hold on a second,
Lucy Lawless. Like what? One of the
continue to talk. I'm going to search.
She was a Cylon on Battles on BSG. She was a Cylon. You know who I'm talking about. She is Xena. Yeah. Okay. Anyway.
She was Deanna.
Yeah, Deanna.
Cylon Deanna.
She was great on there, I thought.
Oh, yeah.
One of the two movies pitched to Sci-Fi Channel, as I mentioned, by Josh Becker and Bruce Campbell. The other one was Man with a Screaming Brain. Have not seen it, but I've heard it's not as bad.
It would have to be ridiculous to be worse than this.
Oh, dude. Yeah. Without a question.
This made me wonder how I missed the film he made after this one with Sci-Fi, which was called Harpies. Or the Harpies or something like that.
Yeah.
And then I thought about it for about 5 seconds and realized, no way. I'm not even going to consider it.
Yeah,
I had the Harpies once. Yeah. Turn it right up. Got some
little cream.
Vitorin. What is that stuff called?
Topical cream. So I have not told this to a lot of people, but my favorite sci-fi made for sci-fi movie is Mansquito.
Oh, wow.
And again, not an effort to change subject here, but I think Mansquito is awesome, and we should totally watch that on this show. But
I can see why you don't tell a lot of people that.
I know. It is ridiculously bad, but it features giant, viscous mosquitoes. And I was kind of hoping we'd get a little bit of that with this, because we had, these aliens that eat wood, and they're kind of like termites, giant termites.
Yeah, and the thing that disturbed me most about the aliens is the fact that generally, I can tell. I can go, okay, hey, that's CGI. Hey, that's stop motion. I could not tell what the crap this was made with, because honestly, I don't know if it was marionettes or what, but it was weird looking.
I think it was CGI, because there was a lot of talk in the credits about that.
Yeah, there was. Was there credits?
Oh, wow.
I left.
The credits?
Yeah, I stayed. I always stay for the credits, partially because sometimes I have questions like Brian's. I honestly was a little confused, too. I don't know if these were dolls or mostly animatronics, or what were these things exactly, because the quality of them was difficult to put my finger on. Was it terrible? Was it okay? Was it comedic? Was it kind
of
gross?
Land of the Lost kind of stuff?
It was
weird. Odd at times. Yeah,
but I think according to all that, it was just CG, and therefore I think we can conclude bad CG. Yes, Randy.
And I realize the film's like 4 years old, but I want to understand, why is it that our effects for laser blasts are so many decades ahead of the effects of for the people who are shooting, producing the laser blasts? Like, I slowed the film down a few times when they shot their big, huge laser cannons, and I'm like, wow, that looks awesome. I mean the projectile. I don't mean the gun itself. The gun itself looks like something. It looks like something that was repurposed from Toys R Us.
I think you're dead right that it was repurposed from Toys R Us. I think the scenery that was used for this thing was one place that was maybe a half a mile in square, square mileage.
It was a semicircle. They would point one direction, and they had woods, and the other direction they had rocks.
Yeah.
And they just went back and forth.
Yeah. That was it. And there's some evidence that it was filmed in a place called Pleasant Grove, Utah, but I can't confirm it.
That's what I was about to say. It had to be Utah.
It looked very Utah-ish, and a lot of people film here because there's really low some of the fees and junkie pay and like the what do you call it? The union stuff's real easy around here. Anyway. Yeah,
there's really low crime.
Yeah, low crime.
It's like the Toronto of the West.
And in Pleasant Grove, there's a really good chance that no one knows who Bruce Campbell is, so he wouldn't get swamped or mobbed. He could go down to the freaking steakhouse and no one would bother him. But
down to the steakhouse.
Now I couldn't think of a name.
He's been down to a lot of steakhouses.
Down to the steakhouse. So the best actor in the movie, by far, in my opinion, is Bruce. By far and away, it's ridiculous how much better
he is
than anyone else.
This is totally his movie.
Yeah.
Something I've noticed during the film and before we get to some clips here, he seemed to have gained a lot of weight since this.
Well, he put it on just for this movie.
It seemed like he was younger here, though. Like he looks really old and spent on Burn Notice.
And he does.
Is that on purpose? Is that it must be because he looked really great here. I thought he looked healthy and
he probably wears less makeup on Burn Notice.
Yeah, possibly. All right, let's do some clips because we got tons. Let's start with a little bit of intro. They did the intro like you're reading Genesis for some reason. So I couldn't
another crappy
how
movie,
long was the dialogue
you know. Long narration
we're running through a trend here of this happens with almost every movie we've done, and I'm trying to think if there was one that didn't. Maybe 2010 it was a little bit like that, because in 2010 he was like, you like your new job, sent you a thing with the stuff, and it still started doing that, kind of like setting you up for it, but this was real bad.
But you got to see the actor.
Yeah, check it out.
In the beginning there was the heavens and the earth, and it was green. Trees of every sort and variety. Enormous Douglas firs. Mighty oaks. Giant redwoods and fragrant pines. One could walk for miles under the canopy of the great woods, not knowing if it was daylight or twilight. But that was long ago. Before the invasion and the infestation and the mites.
So yeah, they set it up that the world was great before the mites came, and apparently, see, here's the funny thing: the intro leads you to think that all these trees are now gone, the world is decimated. Because
I know.
And you go there, and it's a beautiful green. You know, nothing's really gone.
They first land there in like this rock area, but yeah, afterwards, it's like they're constantly in the woods running around.
And maybe that's what they intended with the rock area, with the desert stuff. You make a fine point there. Very early in the film, there's somebody who they don't explain why, but she's got a broken leg.
Yeah, apparently during the crash landing they made, she hurt her leg.
Yeah, and he's totally hanging on her and helping her. And I kept
you watching this movie?
I kept thinking that she's gonna be she's gonna be the chick that will be the main, you know, love interest or whatever.
Yeah, me too.
And I was dead wrong. And
spoiler alert:
part of it is probably because of her acting, and I only need to play this to explain.
You know, I was just wondering.
What now, doctor?
Well, I was just wondering if there were as many doctors practicing now as when we left.
Why is that, pray tell?
Well, it's the old theory of supply and demand. I mean, if there are more, then I can't charge as much because the rates go down. But if there aren't as many, I can charge whatever I want, whatever the market will bear.
There is no market and there are no doctors here, right?
Well, then my services will be in great demand, won't they?
Hey, civilization has been destroyed. Why else wouldn't they have made radio contact, huh? Huh? Because everything's gone, that's why. In the 40 years we've been in cryogenic sleep, the world has been decimated, and we're all gonna die.
Boy, did you wake up on the wrong side of the cap.
Right. Was that written in the script? Huh? Do you think she improv'd that?
Well, she obviously had the chops. She was terrible, and she died not too soon. It was fine to see her go. But this is very early in the movie, and when you hear Bruce talking at first, you go, oh, this is kind of funny. It's his rhythm. You know, it's his thing. It's his shtick. And then she speaks and does the huh-huh, and you're like, oh, okay, is this really what we're going to get? And not only that, but her and everyone else is double-dubbed. Like, this isn't them on set. They're being dubbed over, which is done in lots of movies. Just never this badly, ever. Yeah. And we thought it was bad in Retrograde.
Mm-hmm.
I'm starting to think that thing was a damn masterpiece.
I think they spent a little more time trying to match up the voices with the mouths in Retrograde.
Yeah, that's where all the time was spent. But all right, so that's his first lines. Bad actor lady. This is where Bruce decides to declare to everyone what his role is going to be in this new post-apocalyptic post-mite invasion world.
Well, don't you have confidence in my abilities?
No, I don't think it matters what you think. Nothing ever works out the way it's supposed to, and neither will any of your theories. What I think, people, is that we're all breathing high levels of radiation. And we'll all be dead by nightfall.
You must be a fun date. Anyway, in Utopia, which is now, I will be known as the Great Healer.
Okay, the Great Healer. But I want to go back a little bit. Is it actually possible to breathe in radiation? I don't get how that works.
Yeah, you wouldn't actually breathe in radiation. You may be exposed to the radiation.
No, if the air is full of radioactive particulates.
That's right, because I do remember learning that on what's the name of that show where the bombs? I want to call it Jacob Ladder. I know that's not right.
Jericho.
Remember, because the rain was coming and they had to get in quick.
Oh, that's right. That's where I get all my rain science, cloud? Jericho.
That's right.
Jericho smells like radiation.
Jericho started about the same time as this film was made. How in the world is this film so much worse than Jericho?
I don't know. I like Jericho. I was in it for the long haul, even though it was kind of bad. Yeah. Even though it had Major Dad in it.
He was good.
He was good. But see, there's me. Look, I'm trying to pull away from the movie again.
Yeah, I know.
Let's talk about Major Dad. I would much rather do that. That's all right. We're in this for the long haul. So an alien tells what planet he's from and talks in general. This is the first taste we get of an alien saying something.
Tell me now, who are you? I said, tell me now, who are you? Who are you?
Who are you?
Who am I? I am the leader of this district.
Leader? You're not even human.
No, nor would I ever want to be a human. Now, tell me now, what district are you from? Be quick.
I'm from Michigan.
Michigan? That is a district quite far away from here.
Where are you from?
Oregon. We are in Oregon.
No. You're not from Earth. What planet are you from?
There. Does that help you to understand?
There's so many things wrong with that whole
exchange.
That whole exchange.
It wasn't much longer after that until Tyrone there got his head bit off.
Oh, yeah. Totally. I didn't see that coming.
Yeah. With the obnoxious, loud, angry token black guy is going to maybe die first.
Exactly.
Yeah, you never thought that was coming.
Right.
So let's stop and talk about the aliens for a second. As a nemesis in this film, supposedly the evil, horrible thing that you want to hate, how did it stand up for you guys?
Yeah, I like their little grass huts. Those were cool.
What the? You mean the one that was made out of their own poo or whatever?
Yeah.
Discarded
wood.
Yeah,
used wood.
Yeah, exactly. Digestible wood. Well, that's what mites do, right? I mean, termites build their little mound out of whatever. I guess that was a nod to that. But I mean, Randy, if you had to grade the, you know, these are the Darth Vader of this film. Okay, so we're supposed to fear them, hate them, and want revenge.
It actually very presence of the aliens indicts the story for me, because as we learned from a film like District 9, which is correct, when you mingle two entire races, two cultures, two sets of technology, you can't keep them separated. And so the concept that the aliens would arrive with their way superior technology and somehow knock humanity backwards 400 years is insane.
Yeah.
It makes no sense whatsoever. So the whole time the aliens are around, I'm like, where's their cool wristwatch or whatever, you know?
They're naked. Just like all aliens. I don't understand that. I never understood that. Apparently we're the only species that in the universe that expects to wear clothes.
What is underwear for? Tell me now, Brian. Tell me now.
Tell me now.
Tell me now.
Tell me now. All right.
Oregon.
Now we know what they're there for because we've seen the movie, but let's tell the audience what the aliens really came for.
I remember when the probe mission was going on. I was pretty young at the time.
Really?
Yeah, before the invasion.
When exactly was the invasion?
Oh, 20 years ago now. I'm one from the few left that still counts the time.
What are these aliens doing here?
Wood.
They're here for wood?
Uh-huh. It's like gold or diamonds to them. I guess their planet don't have no wood. They ship it back for profit. Supply and demand, you know.
Well, I'm familiar with that theory.
And it's a very good one.
Yep. What's what this whole damn thing's about? Who'd have thunk it?
They eat it, too.
They eat it, too.
Oh, you can make such a great YouTube porno with those, with the yeah. you know, sound clips from
the
movie.
Oh, totally. Now, that brings up a point about they've got this, you got the wise sort of old man who's been there and seen it all. Turns out he's only 35, but the actor's like 60-something, and that's supposed to be yeah. the story that nobody lives as old as me. How old are you? 35? Oh, yeah. Shocking. Ooh. But he was the most egregious dub-over of the show, of the whole thing. Well, maybe the girl, the She-Ra girl we haven't got to yet, but she's terrible. Anyway, that guy was awful. But it's been established, Brian Ibbett, that that the aliens need wood. Now, I'd like to ask you, if you were writing this movie, what would you have picked besides wood to be the great currency, the great driver of greed and hatred in the eyes of the aliens? What would you have done?
Concrete, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
because then they'd have huts built out of excreted concrete. Is that one?
Cathode ray tubes. Tell me now.
Tell
where
me
are
now.
Your cathode ray tubes?
We need cement.
Where do I find this Paris Hilton? Tell me now.
Speaking of, you know, it's important to be free, and this movie tries to tap into all of our freedom-loving souls, and I think this was a part they really wanted people to get excited about. Instead, I wanted to punch a donkey. Here it is.
He wasn't even a good president. Republicans, sheesh.
But he lives, and he'll lead us all to freedom.
Freedom! Freedom!
20 years is a long time. I don't think we should wait for this guy.
Me neither.
Wouldn't it? One more time, more enthusiasm.
Dude, that it's terrible. I mean, that's not... I don't buy that. I mean, when you... Okay, you got Mel Gibson riding out in front of his guys. And telling them all they need to fight for
so you're
themselves.
Compare this to Braveheart.
Yes, because look,
all right,
I'm compared to a good example of this sort of thing. And there
compare
many...
it to a bad example.
All right, let's like, use
compare it to the Patriot or something.
All right, the Patriot or anything where somebody's trying to rouse the team and get people excited. Mm-hmm. He's not even doing that. He's just saying, "Oh, some people say the president lives. He's a Republican. Sheesh. Blah 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 blah. Freedom, freedom,
freedom.
It's like you people belong in this cave." All right. The first thing you want to learn when you get to a problem like this is how do I get a good pair of gloves?
How do you get a pair of gloves in this place?
You gotta wait until someone dies, then take them. That usually don't take too long.
Charming.
Unless you're 35 years old and no one ever took your damn gloves.
Apparently that's the other thing that the mites are sending back to their people are all of our gloves. There's a massive glove shortage.
Supply and demand.
Yeah, and did you guys notice that
all that wood was pretty smooth? I didn't really see any reason for gloves.
Well, that's the other thing is honestly, they went and found somebody's lumber yard.
They went down to Lowe's, exactly.
Yeah, and said, can we use this stuff for just a couple of shots? That would be great. We just need stacked wood that looks like we've cut it or whatever.
And they were so slow about it. Surely the aliens must have some kind of machine that would be much faster than humans because...
Have a saw? They had the slave guys using a saw or something.
Yeah, slave guys using a saw. The saw, but I mean, it was ridiculously old and rusty, and I mean, it was just...
Yeah.
It was so inefficient. I mean...
I'm with Brian Dunaway. It would be like if we found out there was a nearby planet that was covered with cows, and so we went there, and then we enslaved the cows and made the cows... Bring us beef, basically.
Yeah. Bring us beef. You
know? And then we have this issue. We have this issue where since they eat the wood, well, somebody made the comment that what they'll probably do is destroy all our forests and then go to another planet and destroy it. And I'm like, no, you can actually replant trees. Like this is a planet where you could actually stay here for a long time. And tell me now, you should just stay here and plant more trees. Just replenish it. Why not?
Apparently not in Portland.
No, not in Portland. the district in Portland, which apparently the aliens care to keep naming after states. That makes sense.
Yeah,
they're sentimental, these aliens.
Yeah, that's true. All right, so I have a file here called "A Hot Girl Can't Get Out of a Can," but I don't think I wrote that right. So we're just gonna play it and pretend that
Find
we know what this
happens.
Is. Yeah, we're gonna see what happens. Check it out.
Tell me now.
Have we met?
I don't think so.
This is really weird. Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure, unless you're at least 50 years old.
My name is Busy.
Hi, I'm Ivan.
I'm Alex.
Hi.
Hey, thanks for saving our lives.
Did you just escape from the sawmill?
Yeah.
Why are you wearing such funny clothes?
He's from outer space.
Are you an alien?
Do I look like an alien?
No.
No. I'm from Earth. I'm a doctor.
Oh. What's a doctor?
Okay, I think what I was trying to do there was express.
Sounds like she's at the can.
She's terrible.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Terrible. Hot as all get out, but terrible.
Very cute.
Only
yes.
Done two movies, including this one.
Yeah, what was the other one, Brian?
It was The Man with the Screaming Brain. She played a waitress.
I wonder who she's related to.
She is very cute, but yeah, acting, not her thing.
Oh, my gosh. Not even voiceover was her thing. I mean, at least have somebody else do it.
But that was the one shining point of this movie, was the whole that whole cave scene. Yeah, I think that was...
You think that was the shining point of this movie?
There was never any payoff to that. And they set up this whole thing of like, how does she possibly know him? You know, is she maybe, you know, his daughter, or is she somehow related to him? No, there's no freaking payoff at all. It's like...
The part that I liked, it was... Yeah, I know. It was really dark and, you know, there wasn't a lot going on. So that was a plus.
Yeah, but I don't get why Brian Ibbett's right. What you say is true. When you set up something like this, even if it's not a major thing, your brain, the way it works is it says, "All right, I'm going to tuck that away, and later, we're going to find out what that meant." It didn't mean anything.
No,
it's
never
paid off.
What's a doctor?
Holy crap! This movie didn't pay off. But anyway,
I got so tired of people asking what a doctor is, you know, and he keeps declaring himself to be an osteopath, which makes it even worse.
Yeah,
you know?
Like,
he could have said he's a brain surgeon or something.
Exactly.
You know?
It's like they would know.
Anyway, he made himself out to sound like some total flunky that had to settle for some doctor job.
He's a pseudo doctor. He's an osteopath. Yeah, but I can treat anything, whatever comes along.
Sure, why not? And the handshaking thing that paid off, I guess, because at the end he wouldn't shake the hand of the president because the president was too much of a dip crap.
Yeah,
or whatever.
That was a cute running joke. I mean, I thought that was probably that might have been the highlight of
all right. Well, in the scheme of things, I'll agree with you. Given the context of everything else, sure. That was a pretty good gag.
In 20 years, people have forgotten what shaking hands is.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's because they didn't have any fingers, half of them, because, you know, the punishment.
Yeah. And you know, back to that, though, so they bring this bowl of fingers to the aliens who treat this like a delicacy. Dude,
which is
there's 9/10 of an astronaut sitting there on the floor just missing a head.
So which is it? Do they like to eat wood or do they like to eat human fingers?
I think the human thing is a treat.
A delicacy.
Yeah, It's like a bonus, like getting a donut.
So they're insect vegetarians, but they love to eat bloody fingers.
They like to bite.
These
like
humans
to bite
go
off.
Straight to my thighs. I better stick to the wood.
Sure. It's only heads and fingers, though, apparently, is all they've got the stomach for.
I loved it. Whenever they would swallow, too, and their necks would flare out.
Yeah.
Like heads were really in there.
Big cartoon gulp. It's terrible.
Yeah.
I love it whenever Bruce Campbell's head flares out, but I guess that's all the time.
That's all the time, dude. Welcome to Bruce Campbell.
You don't have to look. It's already here. Now, this president of yours, what's his name, Kempsky?
You're trying to trick us. President Dembski was after the probe mission. You were in deep space when he was elected. He's putting together a fighting force of slaves in the Cascade Mountains.
He's a myth, huh? He died with everyone else in the capital.
No, he didn't. The president lives. I've spoken with a guy who knew someone, who saw him. He lives.
President lives!
President lives!
I'll just go find him.
No,
you can't.
Give me one good reason why I shouldn't.
The bounty hunters will track you down and kill you.
That's a pretty good one.
So,
see, there he's afraid of the bounty hunters.
Yeah, he's afraid of the bounty hunters. Very quickly, you'll hear in just a second, and I would like to have a little warning here. A very politically incorrect thing, especially for 2005, is about to happen. I just want to make a comment about the shaking hands thing. Everybody seems to understand when the president was elected and when he was in office and why him and the Congress all ran off and never changed their suits even once. All of these things, whenever that happened in 20 years, that's all common knowledge, but nobody knows how to shake a damn hand.
Or what a doctor is.
Or what a doctor. Right. Doctor. Yeah. What is this doctor you speak of? oh, I don't know. And then the slave guy's, I don't know, Jimmy, I got the worst beard in history. I'm a freaking cowboy wearing leather pants.
That had to be on purpose. I mean, that beard was.
Those beards, all of them, everyone who had a beard on,
yes,
was a big, fake, stupid beard.
And everyone talked with a rasp like they were rip torn. You know, every one of them, like, you can dodge a bomb, but you can't dodge it. Like, hey, how about we use our inside voice every now and then?
Yeah, why did
every one of those guys?
Those were very, very, very bad. No one's going to believe us till you see it. You have to see this movie. All right, here's the Bounty Hunter comment. Again, I take no direct responsibility for this. This is Bruce Campbell. His choice, his line, national television, or at least cable. Here's what he said.
Oh, you know those bounty hunters are fags. I can get past them.
You will be killed.
Oh, you're a hopeful bunch, I'll tell you. But you know what? I don't give a damn. I got nothing to lose.
So
yeah, that was pretty.
Got that out of the way.
For 2005, that was.
Oh yeah,
especially for somebody who's supposed to be the hero of the film. I mean, you know, it's a common plot point to make somebody that is eventually going to die or is going to get their comeuppance later on in the film, say something like that. But when it's the guy who, you know, who you're expecting to rescue all the slaves.
And the year is in 1986. Them. That helps.
Right. Yeah. It's not a C. Thomas Howell film.
No.
Yeah, exactly.
Apparently in the future.
Maybe this is why Bruce Campbell never plays a good role in a good movie. Maybe he has some sort of actor Tourette's that only comes out when the camera's running, you know?
That's funny.
And they have
keeping
to use
it.
All the...
Screw it. We're keeping it.
It's a condition in his rider that he has to have a line like this.
The kid stays in the picture. All right, I got this is my favorite line of the whole movie. About to play this clip. My favorite thing that's ever said. And I know as I think about it now, it's probably totally dumb. But in the context, again, of this movie... This is my favorite thing ever said. These are some of the henchmen with the bad beards. Check it out.
Genie of the spaceman killed one of the mice. I didn't know you could do that.
Yeah, me neither. They died just like us.
Except green crap comes out.
Yeah. Come on.
Except green crap comes out.
But did you hear Rip Torn in there?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, that guy was always doing that. But yeah, when you pierce the skin of a alien, these aliens, green crap comes out, and it does.
Green crap does. It is true,
and it was pretty gratuitous and kind of fun. Like those are my favorite parts. Is when they just got ridiculous and did kind of Sam Raimi, Evil Dead 1 kind of effects where stuff would gush out of things or the guy's head would get bit off, which you know that effect was actually kind of gross. Like,
yeah,
the body would kind of stand for a minute and blood would be gushing out of the top and. You know.
It was so over the top that I did not mind watching it with my kids because my kids were like, are you kidding me?
Oh, you just even laugh. Kids. Yeah, there's
hey,
nothing.
Kids,
yeah.
These are water balloons filled with pistachio pudding. Yeah. Enjoy. I mean,
come on. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, pretty bad. But watch out for green crap. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
I don't know what this is again. Once again, mystery clip, everyone. Mystery clip. Let's hear what it is.
Cut all my fingers off. I'll work in the milk, please.
I remember now why I did this.
There we go. Good as new. You want this as a souvenir?
Ain't you gonna kill me?
He's a doctor. He's just gonna heal you.
A doctor? There ain't no doctors no more.
Oh, yes, there is. And I'm it.
Are you some kind of spaceman, too?
Yeah, I guess I am.
Revelatory.
Yeah, apparently a spaceman is still, you know, a terminology that's frequently used, but doctor has fallen out of vernacular.
Yeah, it hasn't gotten it.
Even kinda, they were getting tired of doing it. Yeah. Even she said, he's a doctor, all right? Yeah. He's a doctor.
Now, I think I capped that sound file because that was the most ridiculous screaming, yelling, fighting thing.
He
had a bullet in his gut. He got it from, I don't remember who even shot him. What was the deal there? Someone shot him.
Yeah, so the...
I don't remember.
The swamp. I think it was the guy from the swamp area of the movie.
Yeah,
it was the fishing area where he was fishing. Yeah, he
doesn't even like. Oh, that's right.
That should have been my opening line. I don't even like fish.
No, I remember this now. And then he was digging that bullet out, and that once again it was reinforced that this guy is a healer and he's good for us as a people.
I can't understand how you couldn't figure out something to name that clip. It should have been.
I know. I don't know what I was thinking. I put operate and spaceman quote.
this whole healing thing though, like they've got a guy who is so crippled, he's all bent over, he looks like the Hunchback of Notre Dame, and you heal him, you fix his whole world, his body for the rest of his life by cracking his back. I mean, what everybody who has ever lived with another person does with that other person regularly, like, excuse me?
That was on my cliche list, because there's so many cliches like that. You know, things you would expect, like, we can overcome anything, damn it, we're Americans, or with a little help, the president and his grubby congressman can get off their butts and do their jobs.
Finally.
Yeah, seemingly dumb, scrubby people always give you a boost in a pinch. You know, the ants can beat the grasshoppers when they realize how capable of it they are. But Randy makes a good point. There's always this thing in movies where if someone is bent over with a bad back, I'm just waiting for someone to pop it and change his life.
Yeah.
That happens all the time.
It does.
And never gets worse. That would be the best one to see, is like, oh my God, now I'm in even more pain.
That's what I was thinking, because that would be the worst thing you could do.
Yeah. Agreed. The president lives. I don't know if you guys knew that, but the president does indeed live.
He's painting.
This is when we find out.
What are y'all doing up here?
We just came to the mountain to find the president.
The president? Why?
He's putting together a fighting force to overtake the aliens and make the earth free for all humans.
The president lives! The president lives!
Hey.
Remember, Larry, we always say it twice.
That's right.
All right. Last clip. The probe mission. I don't know what it is. I think he's talking to the president here.
Mr. President, this disgusting creature has brought us outsiders. Intruders.
You were on the probe mission?
Yes, sir, I was.
Probe mission.
Why is everyone so interested?
Okay, I remember now. I remember now why I got that clip, because he goes, "You're on the probe mission?" And then all the senators and people in the background go, The probe mission.
It's like,
talk about the whisper. Probe mission.
Oh, good stuff. All right. So what did we learn? Let's go around the table. What was important to you? What was your favorite part of the film? If you could sum it up as your little Twitter post about why you either hated or loved this movie, how would you do it? Let's start with Brian Dunaway again.
All right, that sounds good. I'm sorry.
Sorry, there's a crowd at my house. There's a whole bunch of people down there. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
Can you get them to chant "The President Lives"?
I might be able to, actually. Oh, they're too far to tell them. That would be classic.
And that was basically going to be my sum up. The President Lives, if I was going to Twitter something.
You just say "The President Lives." I think that's
The President Lives, because that sums up the whole movie. That and apparently the aliens are in a clown car because they kept coming out of that one tank.
I forgot that clown car thing. Oh my God.
I forgot about that. Oh my gosh, that's the problem. I watched this movie way too long ago, and I'm forgetting about some of those key moments, and that was great. They just kept, that thing was the endless supply of mites.
It was.
Yeah, and sweet CGI. Don't forget about that. All right, Brian Ibbett, if you could sum this film up in a Twitter post, what would it be?
90 minutes of Bruce Campbell, if that's enough for you.
Yeah, and I agree. Honestly, if you're a Bruce Campbell fan, I think you kind of got to watch this.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because it's good. Any you know, calls?
It's absolutely a Bruce Campbell movie. And if you're a fan, yeah, exactly. I mean, if you're a fan,
that dialogue is totally what you want, right?
Yes.
All right. It's too bad the rest of it blew goats. It'd be nice if they could build a nice movie around that dialogue. And I guess Sam Raimi already did, so who cares now?
And he did have another great line that I was surprised you didn't have an audio cap for.
What was it?
But he says, "Your stupidity is terminal, and now you're cured."
Oh, you know what? Somebody may have recorded that.
Oh, whoops.
No, don't worry. You didn't. Yeah, that'll be a nice preview to what's to come. Randy Jordan, if you could sum it up, how would you say it?
I learned three things from this film. One, if you take a bunch of people who've been enslaved or who are living out in camps in the woods, hiding away from the aliens, and you give them bows and arrows, they can suddenly shoot like Robin Hood. Two, aliens who are capable of taking over the world against the entire population of humanity can't kill a dozen people armed with bows and arrows. Three,
even with a clown car full of aliens.
Apparently, if you bite the head off of a person, you actually find out what those numbers mean. Remember all the time you've gone to the doctor and you get your blood pressure taken?
Yeah.
You give some numbers. What does that mean? That's apparently pounds per square inch. You're like, blood pressure is like 125 over 85. Like when you, if I was to bite your head off, blood would shoot out in such incredible pressure. It's only your rib cage that's keeping your heart and your body. That's
yeah.
Brilliant. All right, let's sum up what we learned. While you looked away, while you went and took a crap, while you went to the refrigerator and got something to eat, this is what you missed in Alien Apocalypse. The human slaves look like Jesus lookalikes for tryouts. The aliens always eat the head of the black guy first. In the future, Bruce Campbell travels by comet. I think they shot that lady in the boob. Fake beards make everything better. Black guy got his head eaten off first. I already said that. Hillbilly guards in the future wear leather overalls. If you hold up your hand with a couple of fingers held down, it looks like someone cut off your finger.
It does.
Brilliant.
In my mind.
Brilliant. God, yeah. If you only live to 35, you'll look 70 in this time. I can see the space lady's thong through her space suit. I could. I really could. They use Star Wars wipes when they'd go scene to scene. I don't know if you guys noticed that. The little...
I didn't actually notice that.
Yeah, totally. The whole thing was probably filmed in Utah. Bruce has bad grades, so he became an osteopath, whatever the hell that is. Homemade crossbows are awesome. They have a weird idea of what rape is. I almost smell what that white jumpsuit smells like at the end of the movie. you know that thing just reeked of Campbell sweat. Everyone looks like the Geico caveman. aliens suck against arrows. Randy said that even better. Turns out cheap CGI missile footage is reusable. Very cheap.
Indeed.
Congress to the rescue seems dumb. And the final battle was epically bad. And
yes.
I actually really enjoyed the last few minutes of that movie. I really did. I thought that was fun.
The credits?
Ridiculous. Not the credits, no. The credits weren't all that great.
The end narration with Bruce Campbell in the background.
Yeah, that was brilliant. So if you've wasted your time with this film, you're in luck because so did we. We all worked together on this one. Let's let Scott Fletcher sum it up with a final quote from the movie.
Your stupidity is terminal, and now you're cured.
Excellent work, Scott Fletcher. Thank you very much. Ah, that movie is done, down, and out of here. Thank you guys so much for being here for this episode of Film Sack. If you want to take part in future episodes, visit us at filmsack.com. Email us at filmsack@gmail.com. Check us out on Twitter, twitter.com/FilmSack. And that's going to be it for us. Anything else you guys want to say before we head on out of here?
President lives.
The president lives!
The president lives! Randy? Randy,
I'm Spartacus.
Do you concur? I'm Spartacus.
Just don't make me watch that any longer than I have to.
All right, you don't ever have to watch it again, I promise.
The instant that some boobies come on the screen, that's when her parents come walking in.
What are you guys doing?
Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to bother you. You're not bothering us. We're just watching an R-rated movie.
Watching porn, I promise.
See, when I remember when I watched The Crying Game, that if somebody walked in during that scene, I would have to explain why the guy that played Ra on Stargate has his genitals taped. Like, how do you explain that to your mother?
Oh, yeah.
What?
Dude, she caught me watching RoboCop and almost fired me from the family. That's how that went. Can you explain something about Thanksgiving up there? Did they just say, oh, we want one of those. We're going to take the name and make it earlier. Is that how that worked? Or what was the deal there?
No.
It's
follows...
a boot this time of year.
It's the harvest festival, and the further north you go, the earlier the harvest is, right?
But why'd they call it Thanksgiving?
Oh, very good, very good.
Because they're following the tradition of several European cultures that the American tradition was also based on.
Oh, I prefer to be...
In your face!
I prefer to be naive and not know about European heritage. Dang it.
Yeah.
Knowledge is power. What is underwear for? Tell me now, Brian. Tell me now.
Tell me now.
Tell me now.
Tell me now.